Well, good evening, everyone. How's everybody doing? Great. Why don't you go ahead and turn over to Proverbs chapter 3 this evening, if you don't mind. This morning in Sunday school, I'd mentioned a study I have with a particular couple, and we've just been going through the book of Proverbs. And that's been kind of fun. I imagine a lot of you here have probably done something like that. If not, have read through it at least once a year, going through your Bible reading as you're meditating and rejoicing on God's Word. And well, that's been really fun for me. And, you know, we're only through chapter 4 so far. And, you know, Proverbs rings pretty similar, you know, all the way through. It's God's wisdom. And the proverb means a wise saying. And so you guys are getting just a little bit of something that jumped out to me this last week. In Proverbs chapter 3, we're going to read verses 27 through 29. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due, when it is in your power to do it. Do not say to your neighbor, go and come back, and tomorrow I will give it, when you have it with you. Do not devise harm against your neighbor, when he lives securely beside you. And this jumped out to me because, you know, I'm thinking, working through the Proverbs, Solomon's wisdom, being a man full of it, to his son. You know, there is a wisdom that is from above, and it is pure, and it is perfect, and it's the wisdom that our God expects us to seek. And it is found in His Word, and only in His Word. And so I'm thinking about wisdom and Proverbs saying, you know, get truth and bind it around your neck and search for wisdom and know her like a mother and find and seek knowledge and know God's truth. And it really hit me just a little in a different light this week. You know, being a good neighbor is part of God's wisdom. Through God's wisdom, He's trying to communicate to myself and to all of you to be a good neighbor. That if you have something to give, don't hold it back. And if you have something to give or you have your time to give, don't be lazy and try to put it off till tomorrow. Don't devise harm against someone who lives next to you as they live next to you. As I got thinking about that, let's go over to Romans chapter 14. Part of Paul's words. In Romans 14, verse 7, Paul says, "For not one of us lives for himself, and no one dies for himself. For if we live, we live for the Lord, and if we die, we die for the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's." You see, our life in the Lord is not ours. In fact, our life is hidden in Christ. No man, you know, the apostle's point here is that no man is an island. No man gets to sit out in the middle of the seas or the ocean or the bay and say, "I stand alone." That's not how it works in the Lord's body. No man is an island, you know, and we all know if you were to remove those waters, there is a continent connected underneath. Just the way it appears on the outside doesn't make it so. I got to think about, what if Christ had an island mentality? What if He was like, "It's me against the world. It's all about me." It just doesn't work. I think about Philippians 2 when it tells us, "With humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves." And after He says that, He says that's the mind that Christ had when He left His place in heaven and came down to die for you. You see, Jesus was a team player. He didn't hold anything back. And He gave us His time. He graced us with His presence. But at the end of the day, we are all connected and we are meant to support one another. I remember, I was trying to think about how long ago it had been. I think it's been about 14 years now. I really liked playing video games with my college buddies. And I will never forget this guy, you know, in order to play games online with your friends, you have to have a username. And they call them gamer tags. And his was Lone Wolf 2465, you know, because Lone Wolf 1 through 2464 had already been taken, And it tells you how many are out there. And I remember when I first asked him, you know, why'd you pick that? And he's like, because it's me against everyone else. And I didn't want that guy on my team. You know, because you're playing some 4-4, and you need a team player, and you got a guy out there who's on the other side of the map, you know, doing his own thing. That's not how Christianity is. Nobody in the body gets to be the lone wolf. They say we are all connected. Nobody gets to stand out on their own island and name it and say it's them against the world. Let's go to Galatians chapter 5. In verse 13, Paul says, you are called to freedom, brethren, and do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love. Serve one another, for the whole law is fulfilled in one word in this statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I think God's wisdom, specifically in Proverbs, is calling you to be a decent person. Calling you to be a good neighbor. And if you have something and you can give it and it's in your means, don't hold it back. And if someone's in need of your help and it's not convenient, don't hold it off until tomorrow, because what you're saying is tomorrow's not going to happen, because when you ask me tomorrow, I'm going to tell you hold off till the next day. But the point is, he says the whole law summed up, love your neighbor. Love your neighbor as yourself. So I thought, you know, in thinking about the message, well, who's my neighbor? And I bet there's some of you out there who are thinking, well, who's my neighbor? You know, does that mean if you live on a cul-de-sac on the end of Blackstone, you know how them cul-de-sacs work, does that mean you have more neighbors than me if I just got the people on my right and my left, and, you know, maybe the people across the street? You know, if you're on a cul-de-sac, there's a bunch of you kind of in a little bubble. Does that mean you have more neighbors? You know, what is a neighbor? Well, let's go over to Luke chapter 10, because, you know, luckily for me, someone in Scripture has asked the question. Did I say Luke chapter 10? Okay. Luke chapter 10, starting we'll just start in verse 27. Jesus is working with this lawyer who stands up in verse 25, and he's asking him about the law. Okay? And he said to him, you've answered correctly, and do this and you will live. But wishing to justify himself, he said to Jesus, who's my neighbor? And Jesus replied and said to him, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among robbers, and they stripped him, beat him, went away, leaving him half dead. And by chance a priest was going down on that road, and when he saw him, he passed on the other side. You know, he's kind of doing one of these whoop, you know, trying to go around him. But a Samaritan who was on the journey came up to him, and when he saw him, he felt compassion. And he came to him and bandaged up his wounds, pouring out oil and wine on him, and he put him on his own beast and brought him into an inn, took care of him. And on the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper and said, take care of him. And whatever more you spend, I will return and I will repay you. Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell in the robber's hands? And he said, the one who showed mercy toward him. Then Jesus said to him, go and do the same. So we get our answer to the question. It's whoever you come in contact with. And I like this story with the Samaritan, because the priest is like, you know, taking the long way to go out of his way. And the Samaritan sees a man and instantly feels compassion for him. But see, that's what God's trying to communicate to us through his wisdom. Each person on earth has duties and responsibilities to the people that he comes in contact with. Those with whom man have contact, even casually, those are your neighbors. Those are the people who are your neighbors. And it was brought out so well this morning. Again, there is no accident for the people that you live near and interact with on a daily basis. There is no accident for that. Mr. Wilson brought that out well this morning. I'll tell you a little story. So I grew up out on Danford in the Nybauer area, way out of town. And until I was about 15, I think my folks lived there about 20 years. And they finally saved up enough money to buy a house. And so they went house shopping, and they picked the one that I wanted because I was really excited about the... But no, I don't know if that's how that worked. But they ended up, if any of you guys know where Tamina and Kendall live now, because they're the new owners of the home, it's just down 48th Street from here. I drove by y'all every year, every day. I drove to school, 180 days a year, drove by you. And then the other days in summer, still drove by you. This building sitting here, I didn't never know what was going on. This church. The church building. And so I, you know, grow up, get old, think I know a thing or two, move out, go to college. And one day, my dad tells me he starts assembling here. You see, what had happened is overnight, we had driven by this building for years. And it's got four or five cars in the parking lot. And then out of nowhere, 20, 25, 30 cars. And so my dad was like, oh, what's going on? You know? So he showed up and Luke preached. And he was like, Luke agrees with me. His words. And so he started assembling here. And he met a lot of you brethren. And he loved you because your faith was real. And then Tamina gets immersed. And then through a lot of plotting and being shrewd as serpents, y'all hooked me into a basketball league at the Y. And then I became a Christian. But there is... Do you think there is any accident that we moved a quarter mile down the road? Nope. And that when we're house hunting, that's where we ended up. Brother, and we're here because the number of cars grew exponentially in one day. And that's when Luke, you know, met up with y'all and put your heads together. There's no accident for the people that we interact with and that we live by. Okay, so I don't want to limit tonight to just your neighbors. Through the example of the Good Samaritan, it's the person that you come in contact with. You know, I'll work on something here for just a second. John chapter 13. I'm going to go a little quicker through this because I think we know it. I know we know it, but it's worth mentioning. John chapter 13 in verse 34. Jesus says, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Now, I don't know if you guys are like me, but when I first went through this years ago, I asked myself, how is this a new commandment? He says, love one another just as I have loved you. New commandment. And so I was thinking of Matthew chapter 5. And Jesus has kicked off his Sermon on the Mount here, and he's working on these guys, and in verse 43 he says, you have heard, talking to the Jew. Where does the Jew, what does he mean when he say you have heard? He's referring to the Jews referencing the law, referencing their scriptures that they would hear on the Sabbath in the synagogues. Okay? He says, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. So in Jesus' own words, he says, loving your neighbor's been around since the law. So how is it a new commandment? You see, Jesus upped it an ante. You see, because back in John, he says, you love one another as I have loved you. And it's through Jesus that we can properly appreciate a sacrificial love. An agape love. I thought this was interesting. I said, side note, just because someone wrongs you doesn't make them your enemy, if you're still in Matthew chapter 5. Okay, that part was added. You'll notice the part, love your neighbors, in all caps, because that's being referenced from Leviticus, and then the, you know, hate your enemy part, let's just probably blame the Pharisee. Okay, the oral law being translated down. That's what got thrown in there. So just because someone wrongs you doesn't make them your enemy, they are still your neighbor. And God's wisdom in Proverbs would say, be good to them. And if you have something, don't withhold it from them. Okay? But I'm thinking about Jesus and saying, this new commandment I give you. I thought of love your neighbor in the old law. If his sheep comes onto your property, give it back. That's how you love your neighbor. Okay? Respect the ancient boundary. Okay? Don't take his property. That's how you love your neighbor. And of course, eye for an eye. If he takes your land, then you can take his land. Okay? And if you can prove he did it maliciously, he's got to give you two. Okay? Love, under the new law, is love one another as Jesus has loved us. I mean, 1 John 3:16, we know love by this, that He laid down His life for us. That's the new commandment. That we are willing to lay down our lives for the brethren. And for our neighbor. You know, for the longest time, I would read 1 John 3:16, and we know love by this, that Jesus laid down His life for us, so we should lay down our lives for others. And I would always think, okay, well, that means if push comes to shove and I got to jump in front of a train for Dave, then I got to do it. You know, I got to be willing to lay down my life. To me, when I read that, I think of give up my life. And then it really hit me this year going through the Gospel of John. If you aren't willing to sacrifice in the little things today for one another, you ain't going to sacrifice in the big things when the bus comes. You see, we have to be willing to sacrifice and do the little things now so we can fulfill the new commandment that our Lord has given us to love one another. Because that's what He did for us. You see, it's in the details. It's in the little things that we do every day. And that's what I hear when I'm going through Proverbs 3. You know, the Apostle John himself says, you can't say you love God if you turn your back on your brother. You're a liar. The Apostle John says it plainly in his first epistle. And so I'm thinking about these details, and I see a couple examples here in Proverbs. Examples of love in your life from the wise sayings. Don't withhold good. And don't be lazy when it comes to doing good. He says, do not withhold good from those whom it's due when it's in your power to do it. And don't withhold what's good from those who deserve it when it's in your power to help them. Don't do it. It's God's wisdom. It's His Spirit He's trying to communicate. I mentioned this. Let's go to 1 John. Chapter 3, verse 17. But whoever has the world's goods... Brethren, are we incredibly blessed in this country? I mean, guys, the colder it gets outside, the more blessed I consider myself. I was here in the morning when Luke was walking in the building going, oh, I feel alive! You know, because he said that's what the cold reminds him of. But when I walk out and it's cold, I'm thankful that my heater worked in my car the whole way here. We are incredibly blessed people. We have the world's goods, is my point. All of us. He says, whoever has the world's good and sees his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? Little children, let us not love with word or tongue, but in deed and truth. And Proverbs says, if you have it, you share it. You share it. Man, think about what Jesus gave. I mean, did He hold anything back? Again, Philippians, left heaven, emptied Himself. I mean, when He's here, didn't consider equality with God a thing to be grasped. And He gave it all. And didn't say it can hold off until next week. He came at the perfect timing and gave it all. You know, someone ever asks you for a ride to assembly. Give them a ride. You know, and they always ask at the most opportune times, right? It's 1:45 and you're rushing out the house and you see the text. Do it. And have a good attitude about it. You know, every Tuesday night, Justin shows up at my house and picks me up, and I get to walk out of my house into a nice warm car, and he drives me downtown. And I never asked him to do it. He just did it. I don't even text him. I just know he's going to be there, because that's the kind of guy he is. And he does that for me. Aiden's taking a little long to get done after basketball practice, because he wants to keep shooting some hoops. You know? And I didn't say anything to him, so this is the first time he's hearing it. But he said, Aiden, you know, you need to get dressed and get going. We need to get Mr. Toole home. He ain't thinking about his boy. Not thinking about himself and his own wife and kid and daughter there at home. He's thinking about me. And he's the one that's going out of his way. I'm just sitting here thinking like, hey, I'm thankful for the ride. Y'all take your time. Just take your time. I'm just, you know, that's nice. Man, I was thinking about this the other day. When I didn't have a wife, and I weighed a little bit less than I do now, the Simpsons were like, "You're looking scrawny. You should come over, and we'll feed you." And it hit me this last month. I was going over there before I got married. You guys, this summer I will have been married 3 years. These guys have had me over every Thursday without fail and fed me for almost at least 3 years in a row. And they give me the leftovers. When you have something, be willing to share it. I thought about the years Luke put into me into Bible study. You know, and we had Bible study scheduled on what would be my Saturday. It was, you know, when you work in the restaurant, you don't get Saturday and Sunday off. But it was my weekend. It was my day off. Like, I've never told him this, but, like, he'd show up at my house. I think it was like 9, 10 a.m. We had study at my house for a while there. And I had stayed up late the night before because it was my Friday. Like, my work week was done. I was up late. I was watching some Netflix show and watched the whole season in one night. And he would come over and, like, I would sit there like this sometimes and just barely able to see the PowerPoints. I was probably not easy to study with all the time. And that's when I didn't cancel on him. Well, I'm tired, you know. Let's do it next week. But man, that guy studied with me for years. Had something and was willing to share it. And this one specifically on a spiritual level. Just examples that just overfill me with joy that people have impacted my life just recently. And I applaud you because I see y'all doing it with one another. You know, why should a Christian ever pay for a hotel when they're in town? Now, I've gone out of town, and for some reason in my family, okay, Williston and Bozeman are our vacations, okay? You know, with school, it's kind of hard to get away sometimes. And, you know, it's nice sometimes just to get a hotel, get a hot tub, you know, and then they got, you can get movies and stuff. We don't have cable at the house, and sometimes it's nice, is my point. But, like, if someone came into Billings and they're a Christian, they should have a place to stay. If you have something, don't withhold it. Don't withhold it. The Lord expects us, His children, to be somewhat aggressive in looking for these opportunities to go the extra mile. Brethren, I believe that. Our Lord, His wisdom, do not withhold good from those whom it's due. His wisdom is saying that we have to be somewhat aggressive in looking for these things. I have been so humbled sometimes. Just in my conversations with you guys, after assembly, you come up and you bring something to light that I didn't know that somebody was going through in the assembly. And I had a means to help, but I didn't know there was a need. And usually it's because I wasn't looking hard enough, asking the right questions. You know, our Lord dictates this because in first part, it strengthens the congregation. But also, in large part, it grows the congregation. Doing good to one another. Doing good to your neighbor, the one who lives across the street from you. Doing good to the person that you come in contact with on the road and having compassion for. It glorifies God. Opens up opportunities to share the good news. You know, Jesus would also say in the Sermon on the Mount, "Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." That's what it does. Brethren, don't you want to glorify your Father who is in heaven? Then take what you have, your abilities, your time, your money, your goods, and share it with those whom it's due, with who deserve it. My wife and I were in our living room one fall afternoon, and I was getting ready to leave for a study in about 20 minutes, and I just hear bang, bang, crunch, crunch, and someone's on top of my roof. What's going on? And I look out the door, and there's three people raking up leaves in my front yard. And Dad's on the roof cleaning my gutters. I think I just made a funny remark and a message about how I don't want to clean my gutters because every time I come home I see them overflowing and I'm just like, I ain't got time for that. They were listening and came over. So I'm like, well, I can't let someone clean my gutters with me sitting in my living room, you know, that's no good. So I only had about 20 minutes to spare before I had to leave. And I'm up there, and then I look at this person, and I was like, man, why don't we do this to my neighbor's gutters? It's like, listen, like, I appreciate the love, and we have great fellowship because of it. But it also is an opportunity to glorify God. So come springtime, when this snow goes away, Lord willing, you know, walk over and knock on my neighbor's door and say, hey, do you mind if we clean your gutters? And they're going to say, why? Because they want to. And who knows, it might open an opportunity for us to glorify God. The other reason why God's wisdom would dictate this is because the body needs strengthening. It needs built up and encouraged. Man, how would we unify with one another if we left each other out in the cold? That's not helping. Yeah, I think of in Matthew chapter 25 when Jesus is talking about the king, and the guys come up to the king and they're like, hey man, when did we see you? When did we see you thirsty, hungry, alone, naked, and bring you in and give you something to drink, something to eat, and put some clothes on you and take care of you when you were sick? And the king says, to the least you did this to one of my servants, you did it to me. And the king's talking. Who do you think Jesus is talking about? Jesus is king. Brethren, when you serve one another, you're doing it to your king. And he is glorified by it. Verse 28 in Proverbs 3, he says, do not say to your neighbor, go and come back, and tomorrow I will give it, when you have it with you. Guys, laziness is a huge energy vampire in this world. You know, someone asks you, hey, you want to help me move my couch this weekend? And you give them some lame excuse. You think they know? They know. Hey, we won't move your couch, but hey, come on in and I'll work you through the scriptures and teach you what the Bible says. That doesn't make sense to me. Jesus came and took the form of a servant and served. Hebrews 13 says, do not neglect in doing good and sharing, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. Now, I will tell you guys, it is a cool memory for me, a heartwarming memory for me. When I had first become a Christian, Mike Ferguson was one of the first guys to jump out to me and say, hey, I got a Bible study at my house on Tuesday nights. Amy cooks. The guys go downstairs and drink coffee and go through Proverbs. Probably the last time I went through Proverbs in detail. And I've told you guys that was with the Daves and me. Well, was the house White. They had just lived just up Maine off of Wicks there, and then they moved further up Maine all the way out of town into the log house. And so that was just when I was pretty well just being introduced into the congregation. And I remember he stood up during announcement time and he said, we're moving today. Amy's got everything boxed up. You know, I've got all the stuff I can get. We just got to get the big things. Man, half y'all showed up. And like, I'm some new Christian just happy for the Lord's salvation and for the Word of God. And I come in there and half you guys show up. I couldn't believe it, man. They're like little ants going in and out of that house. Do, 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 do. Just stuff piling into trucks and trucks going up the road. And I was like, I think I found the truth. That's a cool memory for me. One that you guys can be proud of. You know, there are some in the world who don't seem to mind causing extra unnecessary work and hassle for others. And, you know, 2 Thessalonians has something to say about that. And, you know, I stole this, but the great energy crisis of the 20th century isn't a coal shortage. It's a strain on those who do most of the work. I know y'all have jobs, and I'm sure most of you here feel like you're the 20% that are doing 80% of the work at your job. You guys know what I'm talking about? Do you think that happens in the Lord's church? Do you think it wears on the 20%? Do not say to your neighbor, go and come back and tomorrow I'll give it, when you have it with you. In verse 29 he says, do not devise harm against your neighbor while he lives securely beside you. But just don't be a bad neighbor. Be a good neighbor. You know, like a good neighbor, the Christian is there. And State Farm ripped that off from Proverbs. You know, when I was in college, me and two other buddies rented a house on Spartan Circle. You know, right across the street from the Wanna Snow Skis. And, you know, they're blessed that they moved in after I had moved out. That was the house that caught fire and half of it burned down. Because I was a bad neighbor. I was a really bad neighbor. Think I had any opportunities to share God's word because of it? Crushed any chances, right? You know, we were such bad neighbors. Someone was making fun of me at fellowship. They said, "Hey, Mr. Tool, didn't you snowboard off your roof one time?" Yeah. Okay. It happened when we were living on Spartan Circle. That gives you any idea. We were a little rambunctious. Okay? And we were so rambunctious that we actually got the cops called on us on movie night. Our neighbors had just assumed that we were just doing something terrible, that on movie night, I don't know if we were watching a funny movie and we just got laughing too loud, but like 7 p.m. on like a Thursday, the cops showed up because our neighbors liked us that much. Brother, you got to be a good neighbor. If you're not a good neighbor, nobody's going to listen to you. You know, it's like not being willing to help you move a sofa, but you want to share the gospel with them. That doesn't make any sense to me. It doesn't make any sense. So just end. It's 8. So I'll just end with a couple comments. You know, the body needs good neighbors because good neighbors strengthen faith. You know, I've just kind of noticed over the years and that some of the times faith in the congregation is grieved because of Christians being poor neighbors to other Christians. You know, we see what the scripture says and we don't see it being played out in front of us and it hurts. So we want to be good neighbors. Be a good neighbor, Christian. You know, I know we here in Montana like to give Butte a hard time. You know, nobody wants to go to Butte, the armpit of Montana. But man, Jesus left heaven and came to earth. Earth. And he was the most kind and perfect and gracious neighbor. Let's be like Christ. Amen? Amen. Thanks, guys.